Very happy Mother's Day to all of you, including the gentlemen. We know that today's chapter, which terminates the thunder of silence, is really a beginning. We've learned several things these past 20 weeks. You might go back a bit further. You might go back in your own life about 10 years. There was a time when most of us were afraid of death. And then even perhaps before you began the study of metaphysics, you may have lost that fear. But in the course of these past 10 years, and certainly now, it should have occurred to you that not only have you lost the fear of death, but you've lost the belief in death. You know that I will never be in a grave. I, the living spirit of God, am not even confined to the period between birth and death. In some way you became aware of a pre-existent you, and then of a you that is incarnated many times, and finally aware that you are a progressive state of consciousness while in the flesh, learning your true identity, and that whatever degree of consciousness you attain, you take with you into your next experience. So that now life for you should no longer be confined to this period that you occupy in time and space. We should be free of the notion that we are finite, that we are temporary, and possibly free to some extent of the notion that we are material beings. Now that might be the place where we find ourselves today. Aware that we are the spirit, aware that we can attain a spiritual realization which will determine a spiritual tomorrow. But just as the degree of freedom we experience today is determined by what we did yesterday, so that which we do today is determining the degree of freedom that we will experience tomorrow. And now we come to a place where we're ready to be taught by God. Not by human teachers and human authorities. A place where we're ready to walk out upon the waters of spirit, guided by an inner teacher. To be taught of God is the way to the kingdom of God. For no human mind can ever take you there. And that is our destination. We have seen the folly of governments striving to express their will. We have seen the folly of individuals striving to express their will. We have seen that both the individual and the government express their will with power, physical power, mental power, my power over your power. And we have seen the futility of this power in that it only brings a temporary safety, a temporary protection. And that is because human power, whether it be physical or mental, is not power at all. It is our human sense of power. And the will of God is not in our human sense of power. Our human sense of power, lacking the will of God, lacks the power of God. And consequently, it always fails, even when it seems momentarily to succeed. All of us have been experienced for a long time now, in the futility of our human powers. For always there is someone or something somewhere who shows that our power is a dwarf compared to theirs. And even when you think you're the biggest nation on the earth, you discover you have a false sense of power. And it usually spells tragedy for those who entertain that false belief. Then is the God power. And what is it? And how does it come into our experience? You find a very beautiful truth in the fact that there is a perfect plan, not utilized by most, not understood, but nonetheless it exists. And this perfect plan says to you, so perfect is my plan that there is no human being on the face of the earth who can interfere with it. My plan is infallible. It does not depend on human beings, and that is why it is infallible. The divine master plan for this world is completely independent of you and me. It's like the sun. If you want the sunshine and it's on the other corner, you cannot influence it to come to your corner. You must walk across the street. If you want the divine plan to function in you, you cannot bribe it, influence it, persuade it, or manipulate it. You cannot use the spirit. You can learn to let the spirit use you. The infallible plan of the Father says that I am not going to leave the universe of God subject to the interference, the whims, the promises, the personal sense of mankind. If you want a better life, if you want the divine life, you must turn your life over 100% to that perfect plan. It does not brook any personal interpretation that a human being may put upon it. It does not say, here are the powers, here are the keys to the kingdom, do with them as you will. Instead it says, until you get out of the way, my way cannot be your way. It says, I have given you all of the powers in the kingdom, all of the qualities. I have given you a divine inheritance, but I will not let you spend it. You must step aside and let me spend it for you. For I, the Father within, I know my purpose and my will, and you do not. And the method by which the master plan functions in your life is through the still small voice. Until you receive it, you live in this world, separated by your mind from the kingdom of God on earth. There is no other way that you can enter the kingdom of God except through the still small voice. Man has not enjoyed the fruits of the kingdom for that reason. He has not prepared the atmosphere within himself which can receive the still small voice. And because of it, he walks seeking the kingdom, wanting the kingdom, even praying for the kingdom. And his very prayer is a denial of the qualities that he seeks. Now let's look closely at the still small voice. What it means to you, how it alone can be your shepherd, how through it you become the realized child of God. Looking out with your five-sense mind, you see a world that is not the world that God made.
You can see that very clearly by its imperfections and injustices. And as long as you continue to look through this five-sense mind, wherever you turn, you will find there is pain, suffering, lack, guilt, fear, ineptitude, weakness, every kind of disaster and catastrophe and disease known to man. And yet it is said that God made the earth. With your sense mind, you will never see that earth that God made. But you will see this earth, which is our mental concept of that earth. My kingdom, the earth that I created, is not of this world. And when men of earth heard that, and when religion heard that, it was decided that my kingdom must be up there, not in this world, away from here. But the still small voice which spoke through the one called Jesus was saying, my kingdom is not of this world, but my kingdom is right here on the place where you stand. God is right here in the midst of you. God is in the still, small voice. And that misunderstanding alone has set man back some 2,000 years, hoping to die so that he could arrive someday into the kingdom, pleading to God to lead him to the kingdom, praying amiss. We who have now become pioneers in the spirit, explorers, willing, eager, thirsty to seek and to find those hidden wisdoms, we can say with certainty now that there is an earth which God created, which is not this earth that our five-sense minds see. And that earth is the kingdom of heaven on earth. It is closer to us than breathing. It is nearer than hands and feet. It is at hand. It is available. It is to be lived on. While we walk this earth, we are to live in this kingdom of heaven on earth. And our guide to it is not the five-sense mind, which has been a veil, a false witness, but that mind, which is the only mind, which seeth the Father in secret, which knoweth the Father, for it is the mind of the Father. It is the mind of the Christ in you, the single eye mind, that mind which sees only the light of the Father and brings that light through as the still small voice, expressing, manifesting God where you stand in your very being. We all have that opportunity. As soon as we cleanse ourselves of the beliefs that have made us see through a glass darkly. Now we must face certain facts in a way that the world is not perhaps ready to face as we hope to be. We must face the fact that every time a child dies, or an adult dies, or a crime is committed, or a disaster occurs, that should be a sign to us that that which is material and which is being destroyed by these disasters is not a creation of God. As long as we entertain the notion that God created matter, we are living in a double mind, with double vision. God did not create matter. There is no material thing on this earth that God created. And with that belief that God did create matter, we are sowing to matter. We are sowing to the flesh. And that sowing to the flesh reaps corruption because we are in untruth. We are sowing to what we believe. Sowing and believing are almost synonymous, if not synonymous. What you believe is what you sow. What you sow is what you believe. And if you are sowing to matter, believing in matter, you reap the fruit of your own belief. You reap matter which must deteriorate and be destroyed. You reap corruption. Now then, as you look out upon the world, you are looking at matter that God did not create. My kingdom is reality. This world is not my kingdom. Therefore, this world is not my creation. This world is material. Matter is not my creation. My kingdom is not of this world of matter. My kingdom is reality. The world of matter is imitation of reality. And whoever then would prepare the way for the still small voice must overcome the belief that God created this material world and must cross over to the knowledge that right where this material world stands, there is another universe. The universe called my kingdom. The invisible earth that God did create, which is the very substance of God. We are here to learn how to walk in that invisible universe created of the substance of God. And as we learn the non-reality of physical matter, we are removing the foremost obstacle at this moment. Every error, every problem that you entertain concerns a material person, thing, or condition. And God made none of them. God made no material person, no material thing, and no material condition. And therefore, the bridge between the world of matter, which God did not create, and the kingdom of spirit, which is the very substance of God, must be connected in your consciousness by truth, by the inner baptism of the spirit, by the inner baptism of fire, by the still small voice which alone comes into your experience, bringing with it divine love, divine wisdom, divine truth, divine reality, to dissolve the seeming enemies around you in material form. This is the slow, gradual, narrow path through which we walk in order to step out of unreality and to walk in the light, the truth, the spirit, the garden, the kingdom of God on earth. We will look now at matter in another way. What is it? How does it get there? How does it mesmerize us? You fall down. Did you? Who fell down? A physical image fell down. Are you a physical image? No, but your mind thinks you are a physical being. Your mind says you fell down. Spirit says, I am all. I did not fall down. You have a disease. Who said so? Your mind says so because it created a physical you. Spirit says, I do not have a disease. Where are you in your consciousness? Are you the physical person who fell down? Are you the physical person who has a disease? Or are you the spiritual individual who knows that God is not in disease? God is not in the whirlwind. God is not in a physical form. God is not in matter. How can I be where God is not? I am not in matter, for I and the Father are one. The Father is not in matter. When a child dies, does God die? When a disease attacks you, does a disease attack God? Is a disease attacking the light of God, the Christ of God, the Spirit of God? We find that because there is no matter, I am not in a material form. I am a spiritual being, and therefore not mesmerized by conditions of matter. We find that the human mind, believing itself to be the God of this world, has created its own concept, its own imitation, its own conceptual body. And its conceptual body is this physical form it wants to pin upon us. This very minute will be forgotten in 1 minute. You've already lost yesterday. The next hour will come and it will go. Always another minute will replace the minute you lost. Where do those minutes go? How many years will you continue to lose those minutes before there are no more minutes to lose? Is God losing minutes? Is God losing years? No, but our physical forms are. Subtly, we have been placed into a form that we are not, which is losing minutes every minute. We are in the wrong life stream. We are in the counterfeit life stream. Subtly, this counterfeit life stream becomes our sense of life. But think, right at this second, when our human seconds are flitting away, God is losing nothing. Now God is. Now God is not changing. Now God is not passing in time. Now God is being the same God that walked the earth when Jesus walked the earth. Now God is being the same God who will walk the earth 20 minutes from now. That Spirit of God, which is now and unchanging, is the real life stream. And you can find out how powerful it is if you just, with your eyes closed, quietly say, now. Now am I the Son of God. Now God is. Now and here the Spirit of God is. And you let it dwell in you for a moment, and you will see that passing time has no power over your knowledge that God is now. You begin to cease to be that which is passing into yesterday. You begin to be aware that now I am, and now I shall always be. For I am the nowness of God itself. You begin to move into your vertical position, upright, not passing from tomorrow into today into yesterday. You begin to be being itself. You are claiming your birthright, your identity, not in time, in eternity. Now is eternity. Now am I the life of the Father. We have a principle called one life. One life does not permit you to accept that there is another life in the universe other than the life of God. You will find there is no greater principle revealed in the history of man than the principle of one life. There is no discovery ever made since time began that can touch your discovery that one life is all there is. You will find it is the core from which every other truth you need will spring. Without it, there would have been no Jesus Christ. One life, one being, not God is supreme and we are below, but God is the only being, the only life. And that embraces your life and my life. There is no second life. Unfortunately, man has been encouraged to make God a secondary power. The power of disease has rendered God impotent in the eyes of some. The power of evil on this earth has made God impotent in the eyes of others. And all of the powers of this world, of mind and of force, have revealed that God has no power in the world of men. God cannot heal a virus. God cannot straighten a bone. God cannot change the weather. God cannot remove the lightning or the thunder. God cannot heal a sick child. Why? Because the sense mind of man thinks these things are there to be healed, and they are not. God cannot heal perfection, and perfection is the law of the kingdom of God. The imitation universe, the counterfeit world of man, is never entered by God. And as long as you stand in the counterfeit world, as long as you stand in the sense mind, which outpictures a counterfeit world, you will have evils and wonder, why doesn't God do something about them? And those evils are not out there. Those evils are all mental images. They are never external reality in the kingdom of God. And a funny thing should be known. You are not suffering from a disease. You did not fall down. A cosmic image appeared locally and fell down. And you have accepted it as yourself. A cosmic image appears locally with a disease and you accept it as yourself. There is no disease in the Spirit of God. Our minds are controlled. They are controlled by a cosmic mind. The images that our minds see are nothing more than our outpicturing from within of the images sent to us by the cosmic mind to itself, which is our individual mind. Cosmic television presents through your mind a cosmic lie, which you say is me, a body. But you're really speaking of a body image which you have misidentified. All this is the veil. Jesus did not come to bring truth to earth. Jesus did not come to bring God to earth, but to reveal that truth and God are here on earth, but not through the sense mind of man, which is nothing more than an outlet for the cosmic mind of this world. Jesus revealed that behind it is reality, available to be experienced, and that all who walk in the tomb of the sense mind can rise and shake off that which is not here. We do not have enemies. We do not have problems. We have false beliefs. And these false beliefs are outpictured as our enemies and as our problems. The substance of those false beliefs is cosmic thought. And that thought becomes your thought. When you change your belief, that which you are picture is no longer the false belief, but if your belief happens to be the truth, you will now picture the truth. And so by changing your beliefs to the truth, you change your external world, dissolving the sense images, dissolving those activities which are not of the Father, until the presence felt in your consciousness begins in you to manifest itself as the Word made flesh. You know, many thousands of years ago upon this earth, men and women did not see as you and I do today. Nor did they hear this way. There was another way of seeing and of hearing. And the still small voice is the beginning of that for us. It is the return to the way of seeing and hearing, which sees and hears the universe that God did create, and not the universe that mortal mind recreated. In short, the voice is your first glimmer, not of the mind universe of man, but of the soul universe. And you will see with your soul. You will hear with your soul. And what you see and hear will not be of this world. It will come to you from the recesses of your own soul. And you will hear. Not a voice with sound. And you will see, not sights that have the same formations and densities and textures that you have been accustomed to, but you will see what human eyes have never seen, hear what human ears have never heard. And that is called living by the word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God through your soul perception. As this proceeds, you will discover that you are just beginning to be introduced to the universe that is. That every moment, every day, is the opportunity to see behind the veil of illusion, to experience reality. in an exciting new way. A way that was known to the Christ Jesus, to the prophets, to the enlightened ones who walked this earth, a way that they could never convey to the masses. For materialism was too heavy upon the world. And that is the density of the web that you too must break through. In the preparation of an atmosphere through which the voice can enter your consciousness, you must be devoid of the belief that God power is sharing its throne with any power on the face of the earth. You must be devoid of the belief that God presence is sharing its throne with any other presence on the face of the earth. You must know that only God power and God presence are real, are existent. And you must express that knowing with a consciousness that might be called a trusting consciousness. Do you believe God is here? Do you believe only God is here? Do you believe there is another presence or life than God? Do you believe there is another power than God? And if you have found that you can accept that only God's here, only God's presence is here, only God's life and only God's power, then you can relax. You can relax into my peace. What more is there to fear? When you have that belief, that is what you allow picture in your experience. Now you allow picture the harmony of the presence of God, of the power of God, of the peace of God. But as long as there is still fear within you, or hate, or even human love, you will discover you still have a barrier. Try to remember this. The human mind that can fear is not capable of being a channel for divine love. The human mind that can hate cannot be a channel for divine love. And the love that it does express will not be divine. It will be a limited, personal, partial kind of changeable human love. Love that comes in and as the human mind expressing is never going to be that love which opens you up to the voice. It must be a different kind of love. It must be a love that is impartial. A love that has no favorites. A love that says everywhere stands the Christ. You see, the Father doesn't take chances. The Father does not put his universe inside the weakness of the human mind. It must be your Father's will expressing in you. And that means you must make your will, not a second will, but non-existent. Your only will can be the will of the Father in you. And never can you know that will except through the voice itself. My will in you is my voice. And I fulfill myself in you. I reveal myself in you. Make yourself a fit house for the Lord, for the Spirit of God in you. And then, my will in you reveals the kingdom of heaven on earth. My will in you expresses through the Christ. Only the Christ in you can take you into the kingdom. Never through your own personal desires or your own personal motives, can you enter reality. When you have been sufficiently aware that your complete demonstration on this earth depends on your receptivity to the voice, then everything you do will be bent in that direction. You will release personal desire, personal ambition, personal seeking of any nature. And rather, right where you are, you will accept yourself to be the living child of God, and you will be hid in Christ, meek unto the Christ of your own being, knowing that the only life in the universe is the one life everywhere, which you accept, and not only in this passing moment, but you begin to feel that life as not limited to today, not limited to this century at all. For the life of the Father, which is the only life, is throughout all that we call time, past, present, and future, now. You rest in the Word and let it go before you, which means let it permeate your mind and your body. Let it go out to the six continents. And when it returns, maybe even in a year or two, it will return to that which it sought out in those six continents and present it at your doorstep. Let the invisible Word do the work. We learn to step aside. We learn to let the human mind drop its defenses and its offenses. We learn to define nothing. We learn to judge nothing. We learn to let the Spirit within make every judgment. We learn that it knows what we should do an hour from now, and we don't. It knows what we should do tomorrow, and we don't. It says, "My will be done, and only my will." And we learn to trust it. We learn to respect it. We learn by our stillness to honor it. We honor the only presence, the only power, and our silence is the way in which we acknowledge it. If it is present, if it is power, our silence says, "Thou art the power, thou art the presence, I of mine own self can do nothing." And the fidelity with which we maintain that hands-off attitude, permitting the Spirit to reveal itself where we stand, this will determine the demonstration of spiritual fruitage. It will determine whether or not we are transformed by the renewing of the mind, whether or not we are prepared to receive the priceless gift of life itself, of substance, of spirit, of sustenance and maintenance, of protection and law, of divine activity, of guidance, of love, of truth, of beauty. All this flows only through the still small voice that enters the consciousness which is naked before the Father. without outline, without a desire to channel, without a desire to tell the Father what I have prayed for. And now you are listening with your soul to the prayer of the Father in you. For the voice is the Father's prayer in you. It is not your prayer to God that brings forth His will. It is the Father's prayer to you that brings forth His will. This inner prayer is the Lord's prayer in you, functioning, living your life, so that with Paul you can say, I live, yet not I. We must learn to live this way, in trust, in confidence, in total acceptance, that the spiritual universe where I am walking now is totally governed by the power of God. That power is the power of perfection, without opposite. I cannot fall. I cannot be hurt. I cannot be sick. I cannot die. The power of the Father is the power of my being, for I and the Father are one spirit. Whatever mishaps occur are but temporary signs that we have, in our beliefs, accepted the cosmic beliefs and outpictured them, not because we were bad, not because we were in any way immoral, not because we were in any way wishing to live apart from God, but because we had not trimmed our lamps. We had not remained alert to the fact that there is no life in the universe other than the one divine life. The instant you step out of that knowledge and accept a second life anywhere, you are vulnerable. Because the only way you can know about a second life is through the mind that is not the mind of God. And the minute you step into that mind which knows of a second life, you are in a mind that cannot be fed the inner word. You have separated yourself by having a second mind. That second mind is your lack of fidelity to the one. It is the only sin there is. It does not make you an evil person. For the Father's love is so perfect that the moment you step out of the one mind and become vulnerable, the Father's love is embracing you, waiting for the moment that you will return to the one mind. And there is never a word of reprimand. 70 times 7 and 70 times 7 again, we are welcomed back. Always, the Father says, if you will abide in me, and let me abide in you, you will bear fruit richly. And that fruit is the perfect eternal life. The life that can walk through the transition of death, independent of all material ties and facts and powers. We must learn this on this side of the veil. To walk in my kingdom after transition, you must first learn to walk in my kingdom on earth. Now then, now, God is the only life. You will find that if you can dwell with the only life in your consciousness, that it has the power to cleanse you of material beliefs, beliefs in material powers, beliefs in lacks and limitations, beliefs in disease, beliefs that anything on this earth has power over the one life. And you will watch those false beliefs dwindle away, and with them will go the false conditions that they are pictured. No matter how many times you stumble, whenever you return to the knowledge that there is only one perfect life and no other, you will find new strength. And every time you repeat this, you will be multiplying, accelerating, magnifying, and eventually shattering the veil of materialism that separates you from your Father's house. I think it was Elijah who spoke about the still small voice. It was Samuel who said, "Speak, Father, thy son heareth." It was every prophet who, through his knowledge that the Spirit of God indwelled him and his fellow men, was chosen to receive that voice. And always that voice was saying to the prophet what it has been saying to you and I. I am in the midst of thee, Almighty. Whosoever believes on me will discover that I am the way, the life, and the resurrection. But you must know that I am the only. Beside me, there is no other. Not even you. Let's dwell in the silence a moment, and then we're going to have a little intermission to get our bearings again. I am the only presence in this room. Beside I, there is no other. I am the only power on this earth. Beside I, there is no other. I am the only mind, the only body, the only substance, the only law. I am perfection without end. I am eternal. I am infinite. I am indivisible. I am your being. You are the one being. The one being is you. The I am of your being will teach you that God alone is. And I, in the midst of you, am that I am. I am the voice of the Father in you, for I am the Father. And I speak only to the Christ, never to a human being. We will, in the period after the intermission, let the I tell us itself how we are to let it live in us. have a 5 or 10 minute